The following is a paid presentation on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
A spectacular Saturday.
It is a beautiful Saturday in the market, and it's, that music's loud for me.
All right, I'm grooving. I didn't know there was this much music.
Yeah, seriously.
It's very Christmassy, isn't it?
We just turned the music down a little bit. Thank you. It's a beautiful Saturday in the market, and you know, what are we, about 2 degrees today, so yep. It's absolutely beautiful. Steve showed up in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And the beauty of what it is, what's the beauty of today and why it's such a special day is because Frank's not in the studio again, which makes it such an amazing experience.
What parking lot are you in today, Frank?
I'm in the hotel room in Dallas. I got the experience of being with the Sens the last couple of days. Unfortunately, it didn't go their way, but still a fun experience nonetheless. Two beautiful cities, St. Louis and Dallas.
And are you home after that, or are you going to Vegas with the team?
Nope, not going to Vegas with the team. I'm coming home.
Ah, so that means you're here next Saturday?
I will be here next Saturday. Will you, Paul?
Ah, my God.
There was an audible gasp in the courtroom when the jury foreperson read aloud the $75 million award.
Got some news on there, apparently, too.
Against Rudy
probably
Giuliani.
Turn that off anytime soon. Actually, I'm kind of enjoying this.
This is actually nice, Let me know when it's done.
Moss and Freeman were each also awarded roughly $36 million in other damages. Freeman said,
is this the Dallas news?
This must be
security. Money will never solve all of my problems.
Giuliani called the proceeding absurd. And insist that there was election fraud.
He's trying to figure out where it's coming from.
Oh, okay.
These are proven facts.
Where's your evidence?
It's not me for once.
It's unclear if Giuliani will be able to pay any damages.
Maybe we can go to a commercial until you figure this out. That would be good.
Norman Hall, Washington.
Yep. Oh, is he gone?
He's gone.
Oh, thanks, there we go.
Thanks, Norman Hall.
So, but Frank, you are in the studio next week, eh?
I am in the studio,
And Norman Hall will be in the studio
next
week, too.
Well, that sounds like a blessing. I can't wait. At least you can buy breakfast for once.
He actually bought himself
a sandwich today, Frank.
Yeah.
He bought himself a sandwich. Wow.
Nobody else eats.
You're going to suffer this week, aren't you? You're not going to eat this week, are you?
So anyways, we saw you at sort of like the sports desk in St. Louis. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I got this trip. I get invited every year to a Dale Hawerchuk, who's a Hall of Fame player who passed away a couple of years ago. And he's at a golf tournament in the Muskokas every year, and I get invited by Scotiabank. And one of the auction items they had was this experience in St. Louis and meet Bernie Federico, Hall of Fame Bernie Federico, and be in the studio with him for a period and watch what happens as they announce the game and how they do everything. And it was a very, very cool experience. So again, as a sports buff like I am, really, really a lot of fun to be at. You know, St. Louis, obviously they fired their coach and that was the first game and the fans were not happy with that. And the opposite of Ottawa. I mean, we think a lot of fans in Ottawa want a coaching change and St. Louis didn't and they do it. So,
did you get any of them any mortgages?
Yeah.
We talk finance, actually, because a lot of them are Canadian, as you know. So they're, you know, a lot of them do, the sportscasters don't make that much money. I mean, they do well, but they're still, you know, regular people, not like the players. So they are very interested in finances. It's quite interesting, actually.
Now, listen, are you going to make it back in time to declare your vacant unit tax?
Oh, I can't believe that's how much money did they spend to get the return? I wonder. Like that's what
I'm wondering how much all these audits are going to cost.
Yeah,
and that's yearly too, right?
That's yearly. I mean, you got to get it in before March.
Yeah,
and if you don't, it's 1%.
Yeah, it's
1% of your assessed value. So $700,000 house. You're talking some big money here.
Big money. Yeah. I think it's and to be honest, with you for what? Why did they implement this? Why did they bring this in? I mean, I know what they're trying to do. There is more for Vancouver and for Toronto with the vacant homes because there was a lot of foreign money coming into Vancouver and people speculating and buying properties, scooping properties up.
But now there's no foreign money. And haven't they clamped down a lot more on the rentals as well?
In what way? Like besides landlords having all the tenants? I mean, the tenants having all the rights? Airbnb.
No, the Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, they've clamped down on that, on the Airbnb.
So do we really need this?
There's lots of things we don't need, Steve, that they've implemented, that it's just a waste of time and a waste of money and a waste of taxpayers' money, and this is one of them. But, yeah, like with no foreign buyers coming here, we're not seeing as many vacant properties, because that's where we were seeing most of the vacant properties, when foreign buyers were speculating and buying properties, mainly in Vancouver, in BC. And there was so much vacancy there that the reason they want to have people in these houses is because you're seeing dilapidated houses, you're seeing terrible yards, weeds everywhere, because these people were coming in, buying these properties and just sitting on them for years and speculating what's happening with the market. And that did clamp down on that, and that did stop that. And we talked last show about, the foreign buyer tax, or the foreign buyer ban is up at the end of this year, at the end of 2024, and what's going to happen with that. And I think Frank made a good point. I don't like to give him a lot of credit, but he made a good point one of the last shows, saying that he just doesn't see that happening. And I agree with him. I mean, I think we'd be in trouble, because as we're seeing rates coming down, we could be, by the end of next year, we could be in the threes, maybe fours, low fours. And if they start lifting that foreign buyer ban and they let all these foreign buyers come, a lot of people, I think, are coming to Ottawa because of the affordability. I mean, I know the prices are high, but it's still like a capital city. It's one of the cheaper capital cities in the world, and it's one of the cheaper cities in Canada, too. Like, it's a good place to buy property and speculate on property.
And there's choice.
And there's choice. There's definitely choice, yeah. So that it would be like a perfect storm. We have no market. We have no inventory on the market. They take away that foreign buyer ban. Interest rates go down. The market starts to surge. I think we'd be in for a little bit of trouble. I think we'd see a lot of foreign buyers come in and scoop up a lot of these properties, and they'd be sitting vacant too, because we get a lot of overseas money coming in, especially to the Toronto and the Vancouvers, but we get some in Ottawa as well.
Wouldn't our efforts be better off making construction easier than worrying about the empty house here and there?
I've said that. Yeah, I've been saying for probably since I got into real estate. It's too difficult to build houses in Canada. It really is. I mean, I talked to my real estate coach yesterday, and we were chatting about some of the cities in the States. And he says there's some places in the States where the rules are so laxed that you could have a grocery store, a single family home, an office, a dental office, two more homes. It's just there's not as many rules, and it's easier to get shovels in the ground. And here in Canada, especially in Ontario, we are way too strict when it comes to getting shovels in the ground, even though the goal is to build X amount of homes every single year, because we need the inventory with all these immigrants coming in. Problem being, we can't get shovels in the ground fast enough, and builders are struggling, and there's lots of people that work with the builders that are out of work, like electricians and plumbers. They're out of work because the builders aren't building right now, mainly because the rates are so high, no one's buying.
Yeah,
but
it costs them too much to build.
I think there was a report, it might have been 3 or 4 years ago, there was a report that came out that said, I believe it was a quarter or a fifth of what a new home builder charges, goes towards sort of soft costs, like permits and applications and all this kind of stuff. A quarter of the price goes towards all the bureaucracy of building properties, which is, so of course builders, they're adding on the expenses as well, and they have to pass them on to the consumer, and that's why the prices start to skyrocket.
And they've got to carry those expenses until the house is done.
I remember when I first got into real estate, you could go to, let's say, a Minto subdivision, and there'd be, seven model homes, and there'd be tons of homes being built that haven't been bought yet, that haven't been sold. Nowadays, they don't do that.
No.
Unless it's bought, they don't build. But back in the day, it was not uncommon to see 40, 50, 60 homes being built at once, and let's say only half of them are bought. So, but those days are done. It's almost like a car dealer now. Car dealers, they don't have lots anymore with hundreds of cars on them anymore. It's too much money in loans and inventory and all that stuff. So they don't do that anymore. And it's the same with new home builders.
New starts for single family homes in Ottawa down 50% from last year.
At this time of year, year to date.
Year to date.
Yeah.
50%.
That does not surprise me. And here's the worst part. We're supposed to be building homes.
Exactly.
And we're down 50%. There's a problem there. I mean, you only have to say that stat to realize that we have a major problem when it comes to inventory and building properties and building homes. And unless they can rip off some of that red tape and bureaucracy crap, we are going to be in a world of hurt with all these immigrants that are coming. In 2024, they want to start by bringing in 500,000 immigrants a year to Canada. A year. Well, you got to think, what are we going to get out of those? Out of those 500, maybe 70,000 of those, 60,000, 50,000 of those immigrants? That's a lot of people with the inventory that we have right now, and it's not sustainable at all.
How much and how soon do rates have to come down for builders to jump back in, Frank?
Rates should theoretically already be down. In the last 7 weeks, we've seen the five-year bond market go from 4.5% down to 3.2%. That's a 1.3% drop. We've seen interest rates come down maybe 0.5%. So the greed is kicking in with the financial institutions, keeping rates high when they should be lowering them and helping Canadians. So we're seeing that. I think, you know, interest rates for most Canadians to be happy need to start with the 4. And hypothetically, I think for many Canadians, they want it to be in the low 4s, not in the mid to high 4s. So are we far away from that? It doesn't appear so. I think that by year's end, we should be into the 4s for most mortgages, or at least the high ratio mortgages. And then, you know, we'll be into the low 5s for the conventional mortgages. But, you know, they still got a ways to go, for sure. The numbers that come out, the StatsCan numbers that will come out, whether it's employment, whether it's inflation numbers, which, by the way, we've got a CPI reading this week, all of those factors will play in January, February as to how quickly rates start to drop in the spring.
Well, right now you can get an insured mortgage for what, 514 for 5 years?
514, 509, and that's very select lender. So we've got one lender that we have special pricing with, and we're at 514. Most major lenders, one of them just dropped to 524 last night. Most banks are still at 589, 579, 569. There's a huge gap right now.
I was I had a goal setting meeting with my coach and my team yesterday, and he's in Dallas, Texas. He's got a place in Dallas, Texas, and in California. And he was telling me how pumped all the Americans are right now because their rates have dropped significantly. And I said, "Well, what are you guys at now?" He's like, 6.2 for a 30-year mortgage. And I'm like, 6.2? He's like, "Oh, it's beautiful. We've come off 7.25." So, and they have 30-year mortgages, right? Where we have 1, 2, 5, you know, like they have the 30. So it's, can you imagine being locked in at 6.2 for 30 years?
Well, the Federal Reserve held their rate this week too, eh, Frank?
Well, they did. And what's interesting is here's what's interesting. Here's the commentary that comes from one versus the other. Powell came out, the Fed came out this week and said, listen, we put a pause on increases, and the likelihood is that they're coming down because we know that Americans need our support right now. TIFF does it the opposite. TIFF leaves it a pause, but still puts that little scare tactic in there that inflation might still go up and we may still have to increase them. What a difference. But what happened this week with the Feds? Dropped the bond market by about 30 basis points alone. So, again, it kind of...
When I saw that quote, I thought of you immediately, Frank. Immediately.
Yeah, because that's what TIFF should have done. Our Bank of Canada governor should have come out with the message, listen, we're on pause. I understand Canadians are struggling. We see some interest rate cuts coming in the future.
Argentina held their rate the same, too, this week. Argentina held their rate. You know what their rate is in Argentina?
What?
133%. 133%.
Jeez.
Could be worse.
Yeah, could be worse, yeah.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul Rushforth is with us. Frank Napolitano is with us from Dallas, right?
He's in Dallas.
Dallas,
yep.
Correct.
We should do, you know, like the Where's Waldo? It's got to be Find Frank.
Where's Frank today? Yeah.
Where is Frank?
Well, there's that white stuff. There's that white stuff on the ground. When the white stuff's on the ground, Frank disappears into
the
sun.
Yeah, when the temperature goes below 10, Frank is out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy who doesn't mind traveling either is Sean Reed, who joins us now. How are you, Sean?
Good morning, guys. Good. Yourself?
Good. How come you're not in Dallas with Frank? You're into hockey.
Well, I am. And in fact, I'm calling you from the airport Marriott in Toronto. Just got here this morning. So,
what? Who are you reffing today?
Well, I'm heading to Guelph this afternoon and then back tonight and then just in Mississauga tomorrow afternoon and then fly home tomorrow night. So,
Wow.
Quick little turnaround, two games. But the joys and the luxury life of the OHL at the Marriott Hotel.
Now, Reader, you're married, eh?
I am, yeah.
And
three
kids,
and my wife, I already heard this morning that she was traveling around, been to three hockey rinks, and all that jazz. So
well, I was gonna say, it's probably why you're still married though, because you're exactly. You get to get away.
Yeah, she won't let me retire either.
So. Smart woman. She gets her gets her weekends off from you.
Exactly. Now listen, I'm assuming you're calling because it's year end and you want to make us a bunch of money.
Well, that's what we're always hoping for, right? So, I mean, year end is obviously a time where people sort of look back and reflect on obviously their investments and where things are at and maybe planning for next year too. So, you know, and we have a couple of things that obviously on the front with just regards to the increase in the TFSA, right? It's going up $7,000 contribution limit for next year, up from $6,500. And those are little things that a lot of our investors, they do right off the beginning. January 1st, they're calling us to say, you know what, I want to get my contribution in, get it done, and move money over from that side of things. So January is always a very busy month for us at Advanced MIC in terms of you know, new investments, making some transfers over from one account to another account, and getting those purchases done.
Now, for new listeners, tell us what Advanced MIC is.
Yeah, so we provide mortgages to buyers that or homeowners that, you know, just can't qualify for traditional mortgages. They need short-term lending, 6 months to a year, because they're squeezed out of traditional lending, if you will, for a variety of reasons, whether it's qualifying rates, whether it's they may owe some income tax that they need to pay off and then move into traditional lending. Whatever it may be, they come to us for a private solution where we provide funds, fix up the situation, and then they typically move on into, you know, a traditional lender, whether it's a bank or a mortgage fund company or whatnot, you know, through brokers such as Frank and great brokers out there in the community. And then really for our investors, we pay a monthly distribution of 6% annualized. Every month we pay that. And then at the end of our fiscal year, once we know what our profits are of after lending those mortgages out, we do a top up. So last year, our fiscal year ended is September 1st to August 31st. We were just over 8% return for our investors.
So, wow.
Which was a very stable, consistent return, you know, and when you compare it to, you know, the stock market out there, that's a very volatile, up and down. This might also be a time where people are saying, you know what, I've seen some rebound in the market, and we've had these conversations with a lot of investors, and now is the time to, I don't want to go through this roller coaster again. They realize, you know what, things are now starting to bounce back. They maybe can liquefy some assets in the marketplace and be able to make a transition to a bit more of a less volatile investment, and maybe Advanced MIC could be that option for them.
You know, every time you join us, the jury's out. Who's the bigger talker, you or Frank? I keep trying
I've
to figure
that.
Like when you guys have if you set a meeting together in the morning at 10, you must clear your calendars for the rest of the day.
Well, we can always tell that we're just waiting for the other person to stop talking because we have to jump in.
Oh, no, hold on. Frank never waits for the other person to stop talking. He just talks right over you.
I'm Italian. It's the way I got brought up. It's who we are.
Yeah, for sure. So
how can investors get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can always go to our website at Advanced Mortgage Investment Corporation. All of our details are on there. Our team...
Is it advancedmic.com?
Advancedmic.com, for sure. And that's the best way to get all of our contact information. Our dealing representatives are always available, you know, to make sure that's a suitable investment for people. And hopefully we can be able to provide a good, consistent return for investors in 2024 here.
And what money can you use RSPs, TFSAs, that kind of thing?
Yep. And actually, I also wanted to make note, obviously, the first-time home, first-home savings accounts as well. Hasn't been a lot of discussion about that, but this is a very similar product to a TFSA, if you will, for first-time home buyers. And you're able to contribute up to $40,000, $8,000 in your first year, and then a maximum of $40,000 after that, where you can, and you can transfer funds from an RSP. Those funds are deductible to your income, and then you can use that to purchase your first home. So maybe you have parents out there that are looking to support, you know, their children with some options and building a down payment, if you will, for future purchase. This certainly can be a great option and have some discussions out there. But the big difference between the RSP, first time home buyers plan, and the first home savings account is that you don't actually have to pay back what you take out. So that's a big differentiator between the two products out there.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Advanced so MIC.
On.
Sean, hey, look, Frank's interrupting.
That's the problem with not being in the studio. I can't see what you guys are.
Oh, there's no problem with you not being in the studio right now. No problem at all. You know who you're missing here, though, eh, Frankie?
Who's that?
Petra's here.
Oh, of course she is.
Yeah.
So advancemic.com, right, Sean?
Correct, yeah.
All right, for fantastic. Sure. Hey, yeah. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yes, you guys as well. We'll look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Assuming I'm not listening to you before the year's over.
Yeah. Take care, Reader. Good job, bud.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show. On News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth. This is Steve Gregory. Well, forecasts are looking not bad for next year. I'm seeing 4% for detached and 5% for condos, average 4.5%. They're thinking prices are going to go up in Ottawa in 2024. You agree?
Well, I did read a report, actually. I think it might have been a Royal LePage report that I read. I think they were predicting 7% next year increase in the average sale price. Or is that yours with 4? Is that roll to patch 4?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So there, yeah, I have seen anywhere from a 2 to a 7% increase is what people are predicting, what economists are predicting.
All depends on rates, right?
Well, that's it. It all depends on what happens with rates, how quick they come down, when they start coming down. I mean, I know Frank mentioned potentially April or June. But it's I do believe we're going to be up. We're going to end the year this year down. We're probably going to be down about 5%, 5 to 6%, which is large considering we haven't been down since 1996 when we were at 1.9% down in the average sale price.
And keep in mind, there were some forecasts for this year saying it was going to go up 7%.
Remember? Well, so here's the thing. Some of these people that are forecasting this also forecasted the same thing last year, and they're way off. So, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. I like to look at sort of like, you know, what are the metrics and what are the things that will allow us to increase our average sale price? Things like the lowering of the rates. Things like prices starting to stabilize, which they have. They've started to stabilize. There's nowhere, I don't think there's much lower for them to go. You know, we might start seeing a little bit more inventory on the market come the spring, which would be nice. But no, I mean, I'll make a prediction and say that, once again, all dependent on the rates. I have a feeling that TIFF's going to be a little bit conservative and potentially not do anything till June, which I think would hopefully...
Unless the bottom falls out, right?
Yeah, yeah, but I it might be till June till he does anything, in which case that's half our year is already gone. So we could have a tougher start to the year. We're lucky that our first 4 months are our spring market, but I think we will probably end up anywhere between 2 and 5% next year on the average sale price.
So are things looking better for investors now if the rates come down? Because the average rent has increased 8.4% year over year.
Yeah,
that's 8%. That's substantial. And if rates can come down, is there a chance you could be cash flow positive again in the near future?
So the average one-bedroom rent here in Ottawa right now is over $2,100.
Yeah, $2,112.
$2,112 is a one bedroom. That's what's a standard rent. So for most...
That's up from 2052 in October alone.
Yeah, yeah. So the rents are going insane, and I'm going to tell you why. There's 945 rentals on the market right now, and you'd think that's a large number. But the thing is there's so many people looking to rent right now because there's first-time homebuyers that can't afford to get in the market. So where are the first-time homebuyers going? They're going to the rental market, and they're paying those exorbitant prices. And they're, you know, to get a townhome right now in suburbia, you're paying minimum $2,500 a month, minimum. Now, I'm not talking about the really tiny townhomes, but an average suburbia.
Yeah, you're getting a one-bedroom for $2,100,
Townhomes are, mine are rented right now. I have a few of them that are under-rented because people have been there for so long. But the ones that I just put in, it was, I got $2,600 a month just with my eyes closed. I probably could have got more. So it's very expensive to rent. So yeah, if you're thinking of investors, because you know our investor game, I had someone call in one time and say, "Hey, when is Paul doing his next investment seminar?" My response is, "There's no such thing as an investment right now in Ottawa." So it's the game is starting to change a little bit as we see prices come down and rates come down. You might start to see some investments that are potentially cash flow positive, which is really hard to do right now.
Agree, Frank?
I agree. I mean, it's, you know, you got a cash flow. An investment's all about putting money in your jeans at the end of the day. So there's not a lot of people that have an appetite for a shortfall of $500, $600, $700 a month right now. And that's what you're faced with in most scenarios. But once rates normalize, let's say, and get back into that 3-4% range, then all of a sudden, I think with the rent increases that we've seen, and hopefully the house prices remain fairly stable, and like Paul said, only go up 2-5%, and that's reasonable. And at that point, you will be able to at least get neutral cash flow, and then you've got an investment moving forward.
Hey, Greg, can you make a mental note for the video? 11, 38, and 50 seconds. That's exactly what Frank said. Yes, Paul, I agree. Can you just make a mental note of that so I can get that clip cut, please?
No, he actually agreed to my question.
I got to try to keep the 10-to-1 ratio where you say 10 times, I say 1. So I needed to make sure that I snuck that in. And by the way, Petra, you're welcome. I arranged for that Spence commercial to be played during the break.
I must admit, though, Frank, your seat is much more comfortable than mine. I'm in your
seat. It is, is it?
I'm in your seat. I like this view. I might take this view now.
No, I don't think so. Not after 16 years. By the way, Paul, you are talking, I've noticed, you know, when I started real estate, you were making yourself sound old just by yourself on the show lately.
What do you mean?
When, you know, when I started in real estate, it used to be like this. That's generally what older people say. Wow. You're one of them right now.
You know what? And Frank and I would know.
Yeah. You know what I got this week? You know what I got this week? I got my pin from the Ottawa Real Estate Board. For 20 years in the business. I just hit 20 years on December 1st. Wow. 20 years.
You're
December
old.
1st.
There you go.
20 years. You should be much better.
Although there was... you know what? Imagine, by year 22, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get better. Yeah. Give me 2 more years.
Let's go to the phone. Hey, Connor's been waiting. Hello, Connor.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I had a dream last night where Steve said I could only call the show twice a year going forward.
Well, wow. That wasn't a dream. That's a reality, Connor.
Yeah, yeah.
My dream had you never calling.
here's your one call.
Okay, here's the one call. I'll talk to you guys again in June.
Okay.
So, I have a question about, I've been talking to a family member about the possibility of him buying a portion of my rental property. And I'm wondering if you guys have ever seen this, where someone sells maybe 15% or even 50% of a property they already own to somebody else, and how, if that's possible, and how that could potentially work.
What would be the advantage to doing that?
Well, first of all, you'd
financing.
Have...
Financing.
Yeah.
Yeah, financing, there is no division. So if you're financing a property and two people own the property, those two people are fully responsible for it. There is no division. In other words, if they own 25% and you own 75%, as far as the lender's concerned, you're both equally responsible for it. You need to get the payments. Now, you can do a side contract with a lawyer and get it signed saying that, you know, you'll make 25% if there's shortfall, especially if it's a rental property. You know, somebody will make the 75% and the other person will make the 25%. You can do that. But as far as the lender is concerned, they don't care about your split. They care about if you're both on the property, you're both equally responsible for the payments. If you're selling the portion, you need to also take it into account. No, you don't. Well, you have to inform the lender because you're adding somebody to your mortgage and you're adding somebody to your title. So that person would have to qualify as well.
But that's what I mean. Right? Do they have to get added to the mortgage? Like they'll get added to the title.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yes, if you're putting them on title. So if you're putting them on title, the answer is yes. If you're not putting them on title and you do a side contract with a lawyer, I would strongly suggest you have that conversation with the lawyer to make sure that if you're giving up some percentage of your home but not adding that person to title, number one, again, I'm just speaking on my behalf, and I don't know what Paul or Steve would say, but
if you're telling me that I'm 25% owner and it's not on paper, I'm not on title, I don't know that I'd be comfortable with having to make 25% of the payments or giving you money up front. If a lawyer does a contract up.
100% agree, Frank. There's not a chance. If I'm not on title, I'm not putting any money into that. And to answer your question, have I ever seen that? The answer is yes, and right at the start of the when you're buying the property, but not once you already own the property. I've never been involved in something where someone buys into that property.
How complicated are the tax implications then when you go to sell?
Well, you got...
That's the other key.
And if it's an investment property, now you got capital gains. Well, how long is...
And then how do you figure out the division of that?
Well, how long has Connor owned it compared to how long is the new gentleman or lady going to be on title? Like, how long are they going to own it? So then capital gains comes into to play there. So it's a very, very clear as mud situation is really what it is.
Well, I was hoping the other person involved would be you, Paul, but it sounds like you're not interested.
Paul will buy you out.
I'll definitely buy you out and take on your investment property for sure.
Okay, talk in June. Bye. Okay,
thanks, right. Connor.
Thanks, Connor.
Yeah.
My last piece of advice to Connor would be 649.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest with you, that is a very muddy water when you're doing something
it's complicated
like,
enough.
Well,
right?
So Connor's talking about his investment property, and the first thing that goes to my head is capital gains. Like if Connor's owned that thing for 5 years and he's seen it go from $200,000 to $500,000,
so then he would be on the hook for the first portion. He would have to make a side deal, starting today, and this is the value today.
Yeah. And so now you got to get an appraiser in there to find out what the value is, because then the new person would be on hook for the other half with Connor on the other side too. So
and they have no skin in the game.
Well, they would.
If they're
have,
not untitled, they have no skin in the game. They could walk, and then you're still left with.
Yeah, and if you're not on title, let's say I come on title and the house today is worth $500,000 and I'm not on title and it goes up to $800,000, I have no real legal rights to that unless you're not on title.
Yeah, the appreciation, right?
Yeah, to the appreciation.
Unless it's in right.
So I've never seen that happen after someone's owned a property.
I have.
Have you?
I have. Yeah, I have. And again, it's, in many cases, it's a couple that got together where one person owned it and then they've got together and now they're buying a matrimonial home and therefore, they want to take some equity out, but they're going to do it together. So they divide, the profit that's in there and
can you talk a little bit slower? Petra's taking notes here.
No, but again, I mean, I've seen it happen. I always say my advice is always, always, always has been make sure that your accountant gives you the information that's necessary when it comes to tax purposes moving forward, if you're going to go ahead and do it, and also make sure that the lawyer documents everything properly and everybody understands it, because as we know, couples then break up and then it gets muddy. So if you get everything done at the onset, figure out what the tax implications are and whether you want to move through with it first, and then get the lawyer involved to make sure that everything's nice and clear.
You had her taking notes right to the end there.
Yeah. As soon as you said, if divorce happens, Petra put her pen down, stopped writing all the notes.
Although she is calling her lawyer.
Yeah, for some reason, she's calling her lawyer now.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul Rexworth here. Frank Napolitano here.
6 minutes left in the show. That means 6 minutes without Frank. Ooh, it's going to be a good 6 minutes.
Hey, was that just me? Or was that a really, 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 really long commercial break?
It was quite long, yes. But
yeah, it was long. And by the way, Paul, there was another drooler advertisement, which I'm suspecting you arranged because it's something like 53 cents on the dollar for diamonds. So I'm thinking you probably arranged that one.
Petra just said,
she's taking a lot of notes this show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Paul's bugging me, but yet I happen to see Paul and Petra on Tuesday night. I did. Paul was coming off a day of really hard work. What'd you do on Tuesday, Paul?
I was forced to go to the Nordic Spa for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's busy.
You have a part-time
job?
No. It was actually Petra's mom's birthday. We spent...
nice.
So if Eva's listening, happy birthday, Eva. We spent the day at the spa, and then we went to... sat with Frank at the Sens game on Tuesday.
Nice.
And Frank was all over Petra, of course.
Hey, Frank, what are the deals now? What is it, prime minus what for a variable?
So as much as prime minus 95, if you're either 65% loan to value or less, and or default insured, and 25-year amortization. So that's the key in getting the better rates, is the 25-year amortization or less. If you get into a 30-year amortization, for the life of me, I can't understand why the gap is so large. But most places, at best, you can get prime minus 60, but some of the banks are prime minus 0.10, prime minus 0.15. A huge discrepancy between them. So,
what is the difference now? Right now, what's the difference between a 5-year and a variable?
Well, it's widening. Unfortunately, it's widening huge because we're seeing the fixed rates come down because the fixed rates are based on what's happening with the bond markets and what's happening in the economy. So we're seeing the bond markets come down. Therefore, fixed rates have come down. And once we get into the fours, it'll be a hard decision for a lot of people to make. You know, you might be able to get an offer of a 5-year fixed at 4.84, but the variable is going to be at 6.2, 6.25 for a while because prime rate probably won't start dropping until the spring to summer. So that's a tough decision, and you're likely going to lean towards the 5-year just based on the optics. I mean, it's a 1%, 1.5%, but in reality, there's a little bit of a risk to take the variable. But if you think that interest rates are continuing to fall, it does make sense for short term to go into the variable and pay that a little bit more, because in the long term, you'll be able to convert that variable into a fixed rate mortgage. And hopefully if the rates continue to come down, then maybe be able to lock in when they get to the low fours or into the threes.
Don't you think the chances of unemployment going up are very, very high in the next 2 or 3 months, and that would bring rates down quicker?
I think so. I feel so. I mean, the big banks that are doing very well on their profit books are laying off thousands of employees. Every morning you can pick up a paper and see that there's layoffs somewhere. Not only in Canada, but I'm seeing it in the U.S. too. I mean, I pick up a paper this morning and there's layoffs, 2 or 3 different companies announcing layoffs. Yeah. So,
well, the numbers are going to be a little bit skewed over Christmas anyways, because there's a lot of people that have seasonal employment too, right? So that you'll see the unemployment jump up when all those people, you know, lose their jobs once Christmas is over.
Yeah.
Retail and services, right? I mean, on the service side, too. You know, I think restaurants don't do as well in January, February as they do in November, December. So they're on a hiring spree for these 2 months. And then in January, February, you see that the hours are cut back tremendously.
Hey, listen, Frank, you got a special poker tournament coming up.
I do. Thank you for mentioning it. I'm hoping to get Paul and, you know, maybe get into his checkbook and sponsor the way I sponsored his golf tournament. And actually, what I'd love even more, I might put a prize up for Paul to play, and the first person that knocks Paul out will get a special prize as well. So,
wow.
But that's on January 10th, raising money for local charities, one of them being the Ottawa Food Bank, which really, really needs our support right now.
I will definitely play, I will definitely sponsor, and I will definitely come away victor of that tournament.
See, now I would say if Paul loses, he's got to buy breakfast for everybody there.
I don't have the money after every Saturday buying breakfast. Yeah.
Birthdays, Frank.
I do. I've got a special one, two special ones. I mean, first of all, my beautiful daughter, Leanna, who's celebrating her 31st birthday on Monday. So happy birthday to my beautiful, who happens to be a mortgage agent, a very successful one. So happy birthday to Leanna. And my good friend, Alfio, the drywaller, the king of drywalling, at 68 years old, still working very hard, although it takes a few naps a day, but working very hard and celebrating his birthday on Tuesday. So happy birthday, Alfio.
So Leanna's, she's going to be 31?
She is.
Wow, you old boy. You old.
Frank was 15 when he got married.
Yeah. I have a couple. I have Mark Purdy, one of my amazing ISAs, inside sales agents. He's has his birthday tomorrow. And I do want to wish Petra's mom, Eva, a happy birthday from Tuesday. I missed her birthday last week, so happy birthday, Eva.
And how old is Eva, dare you say?
I dare not say.
Take the smart train.
I dare not say.
Have a great week, everyone.
Just a little older than Paul, by the way.
Oh, whatever.
Please support local businesses and charities, everyone.
Safe flight home, Frankie.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
The preceding program has been a paid presentation on News Talk 580 CFRA.